Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته
You already laughing, we're not even 10 seconds in Are we not even 20 seconds in
What are we talking about?
Alright, let's talk about our favorite moments as Dean Tour. You know, we kind of have that insider's approach, doing events, traveling, fundraising, social media. We know it all at this point, you know, we're kind of experts. So, inshallah, let's go ahead and give the audience what they want to hear.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, I could ask a question from the perspective of an audience member. How has social media changed your approach to Islam?
Dude. That's a question we get asked at almost every event too.
What?
How does being in front of the
camera?
No. Let me finish.
Reiterate.
Like, how does being in front of the camera, like, how does that affect, you know, your, like, your sincerity and your intention?
I wasn't necessarily saying that.
Yeah, I don't think he was.
Okay,
I was saying
that's another good question.
Okay, answer that one first then. How has being in front of the camera affected your sincerity?
I don't know. It really challenges you though. That's a lot of things that people understand. It really challenges you. When you get in front of a camera, you got to understand who you are and you got to know yourself. You know, we just restarted this podcast because they said I was talking fake.
let me tell you guys something. That, like, never happened. I think the only other time we had that is when we brought a guest on and they got a little bit nervous. We had to restart within, like, the first 10 seconds. Other than that, yeah, we don't really restart. So. The thing is, when I first came into this, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but also at the same time, if you don't like the way that I'm talking or you don't like the way that I am, then you simply just don't need to watch me. You don't need to listen to me. And I wouldn't watch you too anyways. You know what I mean? It's just that at the end of the day. But as far as how it affects you, like your sincerity, this allows you and gives you the opportunity to really focus on what you do off camera. Like, you really, now that you're up here, you're talking about certain things. Like, you got to make sure that you're also practicing those things and being like, okay, you know, perhaps maybe, you know, you didn't have the right intention at a moment that you made a video. You know, it really causes you to be like, all right, whatever I do off the camera, like, I really have to be, like, very sincere about, like, I really have to establish that connection with Allah. And it also gets you to the point where it's like, you know, before you hop on any video camera, anything like that, you have to understand that no matter if this video blows up or does terrible, at the end of the day, you didn't do it for that sake. You did it for the sake of Allah. You did it for the sake of, you try to put some good out there, and whoever it benefits, and whoever doesn't see it, then it, you know, it just wasn't meant for them.
It's kind of like one of those things when it's like, when you declare something in public, now you have to do it. You have to do it now, because I said it. It's like, well, I'm playing a video game. I told Usman I'm gonna beat him. Like, I said it. Now I have to do it. That's kind of how I describe this podcast. Like, every single week I say these things. Like, now I gotta do it. I've kind of been living like that.
I just want you to imagine somebody tells you to do something. They don't even know how to do that certain thing. Now you don't even want to listen to them. Now they just, you know, it's hypocritical. Someone's like, oh yeah, you got to stop doing this, this, and this, and that. And then they're doing those same exact things. You're like, bro, like, now that person just loses credibility.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, it does. It tests your faith. It tests your credibility. It just tests who you are as a person, because you always want to start with your intention in the right place and trying to be sincere. But for the content we make, you know, we surround ourselves with, like, brotherhood and Islam and stuff like that. That's where this question really comes from. If you have someone who just makes, like, little skits and, you know, comedy videos, even though they're Muslim, you're not going to really be worried about their sincerity necessarily, except for if the content they make goes against Islam, or like, oh, how do you feel about content that you might come across that may, you know, be detrimental to, like, Islam? and your like your reputation. Because everybody who's Muslim who comes out as Muslim, you have a reputation. A lot of people don't want to be known as a content creator or a Muslim content creator. But I would say, like, what's the reason not to be? Because if you have, if you garner a following of hundreds of thousands of people and a lot of them are non-Muslim, why wouldn't you be using that as an opportunity to give da'wah? I'm not saying make your whole content da'wah, but subtly, like, sprinkle in the fact that you're Muslim and what you do as a Muslim. Because no, what's the whole point of having a platform if you can't spread good doing it?
No, and that is a really good point, because you really never know whose life you can change. Even if it's one person's life that you completely change and you cause them to do good and get on the right path, like, you understand, like, that's something that you're going to be rewarded for. And especially, you know, when we're, you know, when you have people who are blessed with these big, big, big platforms, right, where they have the ability to influence thousands and thousands of people, you know what I mean? Like, that's such a great opportunity to influence somebody to do good, and then they can influence other people to do good. And then, you just started an endless cycle of good deeds for yourself.
You know,
and on top of that, it's something that will benefit you, you know, even after you die.
You know, we really, it's crazy. You see all these benefits, right? But remember, when every Muslim content creator we talk to, a lot of them, like, they kind of, like, they put a stigma on it, like Muslim content creation. I kind of see it. I remember when we were in Egypt in October, and we were talking, there was a Muslim content creator, we were raising money, right? And there was a Muslim content creator, a lot of people might know him, Muhammad Ibrahim Bibo. He makes TikToks and stuff like that. Very funny guy. SubhanAllah, he was telling us that he could go online and say something and people would laugh. But if we were to go online and say that same exact thing, we would be scolded, because we're known as Muslim content creators. We're known as, like, people who talk about Islam and things like that. There's a different, we're put through a different lens in the eyes of, like, you know, Muslim social media, Muslim TikTok, whatever you want to call it. Where it's kind of, and we've been on the backside of that. You know, sometimes people will say things, or sometimes, I remember Hussein went through that. They were slandering Hussein, and Hussein was right. And I'm like, yo, I'm like,
what was this about?
Remember when he said that, I remember he was talking about Fir'aun. He said it in a podcast, and a lot of people were saying, no, he didn't say that. And people were making videos. And then there was, like, people who defended him. And I was like, SubhanAllah. And we've been on that side of Muslim content where you could be trying to spread something good and they'll still, you know, ridicule you. They'll find any small detail. Like, we're, like, probably the most unforgiving community in the world.
And yeah, this is from other Muslims. Like, I understand, like, there was a point in time where me and Hussein, we made a video on, you know, LG TV, and, you know, I was seeing myself all over the For You page. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what else to tell you. Like, you look up Dietor and it was just people duetting and stitching that video up until the point where Hussein really had to take that video down. And I remember that time. But here's the thing, though. That happened from non-Muslims, people who don't agree with us. That I can definitely understand, right? Mm-hmm. But when you have your own Muslim brothers and sisters who are supposed to be the ones defending you, helping you, you know, to Allah's guidance, things of that nature, and you're sitting here ridiculing them and judging them and, you know, basically bashing your Muslim brothers and sisters and backbiting them or whatever that you do, then you understand, like, that there's a real problem in that.
Yeah.
Because, like, how are we supposed to grow and unite as a community when we're all divided up and, you know, slandering each other?
And it's also how you say things, because it's like when a non-Muslim, if they were to say anything bad in our comments or whatever, I don't care. Because I'm not worried about you. But if another Muslim comes in, I'm like, bro, like, your whole character just got diminished in front of my eyes because you came out and you said something very harsh to me. Even though I see where your heart might be or where your intention might be, the way you say it, now I've lost respect for you. And if you lose respect for another Muslim, man, like, that's a hard thing to do, because it feels like a family member is just, like, stabbing you in the back.
It's like, social media, speaking of, like, from our perspective, social media sometimes seems like such a fake place, because we'll see people say things about us and we'll be like, that's completely untrue. It's completely untrue. And we'll sit there and we'll laugh around, like, what even is this comment from Muhammad Ibrahim, 37 followers?
It's not even, it's user 5679. Yeah,
user 5679. What even is this comment saying all these things? So you just look at it and it's like, what is this? What is it? And all social media, people think that, like,
because that's the other thing.
Here's the thing, though. You could say something behind a keyboard. But, like, does that, like, just because you say it over social media and behind a keyboard, does that mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to ask you about that, or does it have any impact? Like, you can't really just say whatever you want online. I see people will say the most heinous things behind a phone. The most heinous things. Like, that's really what social media has done to people's minds. It gives them a bold and confidence, which is unheard of.
Yeah, because most of the time, they will never say those things to you in person.
Yeah.
Ever.
People think that just because you label yourself as a Muslim and now you're in the public space, so you try making content creation and whatnot, they think that you're not subject to mistakes. They think that you're not subject to the same sins that they're subject to, which is why even myself, I'm trying to kind of steer away from that. I'm trying to stay in like Muslim and spread good, but I'm also trying to show you, and this is the whole goal of Deen Tour, is to show you that, bro, you can live, you can laugh, you can have fun, and obviously you're going to make mistakes. While still being a Muslim, still trying to get close to Allah, still trying to establish all your five daily prayers, remember Allah more, read the Quran. You can still do all these things. That doesn't mean you're going to not
enjoy life.
Make mistakes. It doesn't mean you're not going to enjoy life. That is enjoying life. Subhanallah.
Yeah. And here's the thing. With respect to social media, right? We've been on trips with, we've seen a lot of Muslim content creators. We've met a lot of them in person. Subhanallah. Online, people will say terrible things about them. Like, and I'll see it. I've seen it multiple times. I've seen their videos get stitched. People saying multiple things about them. I won't say no names, but I've seen it. But when I met them in person, they were kind of like the most sincere people. They're the most religious people. They said like they were very good in character and things like that. I'm like what's like? I'm like, to be honest, from what I saw on social media, I thought we and you would not have gotten along like, at all. But it's like, subhanAllah.
That's why you don't judge anybody's character based on what someone else says. Like, let me find out for myself who you are. Mm-hmm. Let me find out for myself, you know, like the status that you hold with Allah, like, because your character is, it holds a lot of weight. Yeah. So how you act is going to show exactly how much Allah loves you, because if you have good character, that truly comes from Allah. Like, you cannot develop good character on your own. Even for non-Muslims who have good character, there's a reason why Allah blesses a lot of non-Muslims in this life, because there are good people. They're objectively good. They do a lot of good. They try to stay away from immorality. So Allah's going to reward you for that. It may not be a share in the hereafter if you never become Muslim, but good character is something truly from Allah, because you see a lot of people who have ugly character, you can't attribute that to Allah. You can't attribute anything negative to Allah, anything positive, anything that comes good, that is good for yourself, good for your family, good for the society as a whole, then that is truly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. And what was the second question?
I want to talk about subhanAllah on the topic of good character. Remember when we went and did Umrah? Dude, that Umrah, us three, that was one of the best Umrahs ever. Not only that, it's because, not only because we did it together, but the way people treated us on that Umrah, they didn't know we had, I'm sure they didn't know we had social media, but people would come up to us to take, like from a different side of the world, Indonesia, Malaysia, wherever they may be, to take pictures of us because they liked our hair. Because they liked the way we looked. They're like, dude, this is ID. Where are you guys coming from? I remember, I just saw a picture of a guy I met in Mecca when me and Hussein did Umrah. I saw it on Instagram, right? Of him. He was he sat next to me before Fajr, and he asked me where I was from. Like, he was like speaking like really broken English. And I told him I'm from America. He said, he was like, you watch UFC? He's like, started throwing like punches, right? And I just saw a picture of him on my Instagram, and he's jacked. He's huge. I'm like, dude, I just saw this guy in Mecca. I'm like, and I still remember this man to this day. He asked me to get him a visa to come to America. I was like, dude, I'll try my best. I don't know, like, Trump's in power. I don't know what to tell you, bro. And I have him on WhatsApp, and I'm like, dude, like, I met that guy. I still remember him to this day. And it's like, those good characters, those moments, like, you never know that what your impact on someone else may have. And that's something like you got to try to emulate every single day. I see a lot of people nowadays, they got that low energy. They got that low. They just low to the ground. They just a very dim light. They're a light that's about to run out of power. And that's how they walk around life. And that's how, like, especially, that's one thing social media has taught me, is that sometimes you got to learn how to turn on the light. You got to learn how to turn on the energy, especially before we go and do an event. Dude, that's him right there. I remember when we went to Yale and we were going to go do that event. Dude, I was nervous. I was in the bathroom. My hands were sweating. I was like, you nervous? And they start laughing at me. I'm like, bro, what?
You know what you're bringing up right now is like moral. People think moral strictness is going to bring you power. Like being nonchalant, like always just looking at people a certain way without, you know, trying to see the light within them. This moral strictness is not something that brings you power. Like, how do you not see that as shaitan trying to bring you down? Because you're bringing other people down. If you bring other people down, you're obviously down. There's no way you're feeling like, oh, I'm up. I feel good. You know, I feel successful. I feel happy in my daily life. But then you go online or you go in public and you speak weirdly about people, or you speak to them in a weird way, giving off like a superiority complex or something like this. And it's really hard when you don't know that, because that's also how arrogance is going to build. When you really can't see the state of your actions and how they affect other people, then you're really heedless to your own self. You may not always be heedless to the message of Allah, but think about how heedless you are to yourself. Exactly. And how you act.
Look at this. If everyone had a superiority complex, if I thought I was the best, he thought I was the best, he was like in an arrogant manner, that would destroy society effectively.
No, but like I always bring up, you ever try to just speak with somebody who's just so arrogant? Like, you can't, like, nothing you say is going to get through to them. Like, you try to advise them. You know, they always have some sort of excuse on why they're right. You tell them what they're doing is wrong. They're like, oh, well, they always have. It's just always something, like, to the point where it's like, do you really think that you know better? Like, do you not see the things that you're doing?
Like, it's kind of
actually scary to think about, because when Allah says, like, oh, people, you know, they become heedless or they do not realize and all those things, like, it's really scary to think about, because, you know, you could really be amongst those people. Like, you don't realize the things that you're actually doing. You might think that you're doing good, and all this time you've been wrong in yourself.
You also got to think about it. I mean, it's important not to, like, just close yourself off to the rest of the world. Like, the rest of the world doesn't think the way you do. The rest of the world hasn't gone through what you've gone through. The rest of the world hasn't struggled with a sin the way you struggled with it. Or even if you don't struggle with it anymore, there's still people that are going to be struggling with it. So you don't look down on these people. You don't look down on anybody, no matter what they're going through, because you have no idea what the state of their heart is. That's...
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
At the end of the day, we're always going to say that. And it's a very important principle that you have to try to live by to the best of your ability, is that when you see something, yes, you may be able to judge by what is necessarily apparent, but that doesn't mean that you assume worse of this person because of what you've just seen.
Or the fact that you're better in any way, because at the end of the day, you still struggle with something. You still sin. You still have to ask Allah for forgiveness. You still have things that you need to work on. So there's no way, because if realistically speaking, if there was to be any single person that was to sit here and point out the faults of other people without having faults in themselves, would be the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But that, you know, we aren't that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we can advise, but never think that you're in a position where you're any better, or the fact that you can't struggle with something, or the fact that just because you're not struggling with something right now that you can't in the future, or the fact that just because you struggled with something in the past that you've overcome it, that you can't go back to it.
I want you to think how bad it is to have any atom weight of pride or arrogance in your heart, because that is the deed that got Shaytan cast out of Islam. That disobedience right there, him thinking that he was better than Adam alayhi salam and disobeying Allah because of that, that's what got him taken out of the fold of Islam and condemned to hellfire for forever. SubhanAllah. So you have to really just think about that within yourself. How hated that deed or that quality is to Allah. It's not necessarily a deed. You do certain things that may show off arrogance, but arrogance is a state of the heart, which is why it's so hated to Allah. Qualities, these are things that are within yourself. You have to change that within yourself. You have to really recognize within yourself. If you are that, or if you don't even know when you've had these types of qualities or showcase them in public or to yourself, because even having arrogance within yourself, you see someone, you see him doing something, you think to yourself, oh, like, what is he doing? Blah, 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 blah. I would never be caught doing that, blah, 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 this and that.
Look, and especially with regards to social media, because it's easy. I can tell you right now, easy when you have a lot of followers to think you're better than somebody else, or to think like you have some sort of entitlement wherever you go on earth, right? And subhanAllah, it's one of those. SubhanAllah, it was one of. Go ahead, continue,
bro.
Well, like, I had a thought.
I'm gonna bring up what you're talking about, because when you do get a following, so for some reason, I don't like that people to us.
I got it back. Okay. Look, it's easy, subhanAllah, to think that you're arrogant and to think that you're above another person. But I was just telling you the other day, it's easy to change your mind, but it takes a little more to change your heart. And what I really mean by that is that, okay, one day you might say, I'm like this. But what is your heart at? What are the qualities of your heart? Because one day you might change your mind. Okay, if you can't stick with that, then your heart never changes. If you can't really gather your heart to understand the humility, like for the example of salah, if you can't, subhanAllah, things might go through your mind during salah, but where's your heart at? Where's your heart at? Are you really prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you really bowing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you really trying to stand up and, you know, supplicate?
Shaitan doesn't attack you physically. He attacks you spiritually. He attacks your heart. So when he wants you to develop pride or arrogance, he wants you to stay away from good deeds, or he just wants to beautify certain things, like things that may be a little bit minor. They're not, you know, to the most major point of the sin that you might be doing. They're just a little bit. It's just like what society has beautified and stuff like that. So you're like, oh, it's okay. It's not that bad. You know, I still pray. I still do this. That's how Shaitan's going to attack you. is going to make you think that these smaller things are not that bad. You know, they're not affecting your heart as much. You know, you still have a connection to Allah. But then what does that do? You may still be able to pray and still do certain things while you're like doing a little bit of bad here and there. We all do bad, subhanAllah. But what does that do in the long run? You're never going to be able to change. You're never going to be able to look back at what these things that you were doing and be like, oh, they were actually bad for me. These were the things holding me back from getting closer to Allah. I kept making dua to Allah to get closer to Him, to help me understand the Quran and be able to reflect on it. But now when I open the Quran, I feel no connection. I don't understand it. I don't know what's being said. I can't even open the seerah to learn about the story of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is how shaitan gets you. He's going to make you feel content where you are in your deen. You should never feel content where you are in your deen. You can feel content with life because life is something that we can't necessarily control to the best of our ability. We can control our deen. We can control our prayers. We can control how much we remember Allah, how much we seek forgiveness, how much we open the Quran, how much we try to learn about the deen of Islam, and how much we try to implement it. We can control that. But that guidance comes from Allah, but the misguidance comes from shaitan. And you got to think about who has the stronger influence over you. Is it shaitan or is it Allah? Because Allah's guidance will always be there. But shaitan is the one, he keeps pushing, he keeps poking you in the back. You're like, hey, go this way. Mm-hmm. Go to the left side. Go to the straight. Go like curve. Take a little curve. You're but still going to go on the right.
The, yeah, but, you at know, the end of the day, you got to understand, you're the one who's making the choice.
Exactly.
You know, remember when I brought up a point like many podcasts ago, like, when you go far from Allah, who moved? It was you. You're the one who chose to go away from Allah. You're the one who chose the path of shaitan. When shaitan on the day of judgment, he's saying, oh, what I, you know, Allah made a promise and I made a promise. And you still follow shaitan? Like, you got to understand, like, these types of things. Like, whose promise are you going to actually follow? One is a deception and one is true.
You know, I think that's one of the most concerning things about humanity is that every single person had a choice into what they did. You know, it's also one of the like good things. Like a lot of people do a lot of great things. A lot of people do a lot of good things. And they chose that. There's virtue in that. But a lot of people chose a lot of bad things. A lot of people chose. And that's scary because, you know, just as much as they're human, you're human as well. So you are capable of falling that far.
Let me tell you something right quick. This is not to say that, right, all the bad is going to take you away from Allah, because Allah tells you something. When you're struggling with certain things, whether you know it or whether you don't, and this is very important for you to get through your head, that you do things that you don't know, that you're not aware of, and things that you don't consider to be sins. Maybe you follow a certain interpretation and you're like, oh, this thing is only makruh, when it may have actually been haram when you come on the day of judgment, which it's no fault of you if you're ignorant on it, okay? But it's important for us to try our best. Meaning, if you are doing something you feel is questionable, or you know to be wrong, or you don't know to be wrong, because we're all going to sin, it's important to just increase yourself in good deeds and seeking forgiveness. Because one, good deeds, they replace bad deeds. They shower them away. When you seek forgiveness, when you repent, those bad deeds turn to good deeds. What does Allah say about the prayer in the Quran? He says it turns you away from immorality and wrongdoing. Meaning, not only does it wash away your sins, prayer washes away your sins, but it's also going to change the state of your heart to the point where if you are doing anything that may be displeasing to Allah, you're going to get guidance from Allah to know maybe this thing is not good for me anymore. It's detestable
for you. Yes. You don't start to not like it.
Allah, subhanAllah, I had the same thing for myself. There were certain things I was doing. I wasn't 100% sure about their permissibility because I'm ignorant. I wasn't looking to learn. Maybe I was a little scared because if I did find out that thing was haram, I'd be like, dang, am I really ready to give this thing up? Mm-hmm. So eventually through prayer, I just naturally wanted to give it up. I was like, oh, I don't really feel like this is not really benefiting me with Allah, really. You know what I mean? It's not really benefiting me. And everything in moderation. Just remember that everything in moderation, follow the middle path of Islam. But when you start realizing, oh, maybe this thing's not good for me, that's not from shaitan. It's never going to be from shaitan when you think, maybe this thing is not bringing me closer to Allah.
And I'll let you know
Allah.
Something right now. Shaitan is never going to tell you to convince a sin and make it seem good for you. And it's never, like, subhanAllah, I was watching a video earlier and a sheikh was talking about, like, you know, the stages of a sin. It's like, first you do it and you're shameful. You're shameful for 4 weeks. Then you do it again and you're shameful a little bit. Then you do it again and you're like, nah, I'm not shameful anymore. Then you do it again. Now you want to encourage other people to do it with you. Then you become a da'i for shaitan. That's what he described. It was Sheikh Asim. He said, then you become a da'i for shaitan. Now you become one of it. And you don't even see the progression, because every single time you did the sin, you didn't repent. You just keep on, like, you're just becoming, like, through that state of heedlessness. I want to genuinely ask you, anyone who's gone through that phase where they really weren't religious to now, is your heart and your mind, the way you view the world, genuinely the same? No, it's no. Because of, and what's the reason for that? It's because genuinely the knowledge that you took from the religion, the knowledge that you took from, you know, performing these acts and preparing every single day, every single time it builds. Like it builds, it compounds, it goes up, goes up, goes up. The sins that you leave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you for that. Perhaps, like there's evidence for this in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Yusuf alayhi salam, he said, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ أَتَيْنَهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. Like he said that when Yusuf alayhi salam reached maturity, we gave him wisdom, we gave him knowledge, and thus we reward the good doers. So it was a reward for him being good.
Bro, imagine just like you said, think about like your life before you were religious or when you were struggling with certain things to now, how you deal with struggle now, how you like... Where now your first thing is to turn to Allah. It's not to turn to go listen to hours of music. Even if you do, like if that's what you do, do what you got to do. But when you look at how your religion has changed your life, and this is why taqwa is so real and how like this is more truth towards Islam. Like you see how taqwa has changed your life when things are going bad in your life or you feel like you're struggling with something. I'd rather seek forgiveness every single time I do that thing than think, it's not that bad. You know, I don't need to seek forgiveness because, hey, it's not affecting me. I still pray, blah, blah, blah. But you don't know. Now that you think, oh, I still pray. I'm doing all these sins, blah, blah, blah. What if those prayers are not accepted because of the arrogance that built within your heart? Maybe you're not pushing that arrogance out to other people, but you have Allah witnessed that arrogance within you. He knows that your heart is not for him. It's not for him. You're maybe you may be trying a little bit, so you'll get rewarded. And you know, inshallah, Allah rewards everybody and accepts every single good deed and replaces every single one of your bad deeds with good deeds. But what I'm trying to encourage here is to seek forgiveness no matter what. Mm-hmm. Because forgiveness, and like you can't stress it enough, it's gonna bring you everything you want. The more forgiveness you seek, the more blessings you'll see in your life. The more you're grateful, the more Allah will increase you. Allah says he's the most appreciative. So when you remember him, do you not think that he's going to be appreciative of that? When he says, remember me and I'll remember you, when he also says that I believe it's a hadith Qudsi or a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where if a servant remembers Allah in an assembly, meaning in a group of people, Allah will remember him in a better assembly, like amongst the angels and stuff. So think about that. You mention Allah right here, Allah's going to remember us in a better assembly than what we're doing right now. And that's something that you really got to take every single day. Like these are things that help you understand who your Lord is. Go read those hadith Qudsis, go read the Quran and learn about like what the relationship between a servant and his Lord. Learn about that relationship, because that relationship is only between you and Allah. It's not between all the Muslims and Allah. The same types of deeds we all do are going to help us do like be rewarded by Allah, but these deeds are not always going to affect us the same. For someone, he's just doing good just so that he can continue to do good. Someone, he may be doing good to get away from a sin, to get away from
some,
his struggles.
For some people, it's prayer. For some people, it's charity. For some people, it's abundant fasting. But like, whatever it is, you got to really understand who you are and who you are in relation to like your Lord. And finally, when I say like, oh, you have to understand who you are, and then you just say like, oh, my name, like you really have to understand that question. It takes years. Like you really have to, because I remember, subhanAllah, an unk asked me this back in a mosque years ago. He said, so who are you? I'm like, and I was like,
why that?
I'm like, what are you talking about? He was like, the question's more deeper than that. I'm like, and he's pushing me. He's like, who are you? I'm like, he was like, you have to really find yourself. I'm like, and I still think about that question to this day. I'm like,
bro. But here's the thing that you say. The thing is about always seeking forgiveness, how it opens so many doors in your life. I want you to understand every single time that you've changed yourself or caused yourself to do better has always been in a time when you're in a constant state of reflection, right? You're sitting there by yourself. Nobody's bothering you. You stand there like you're genuinely just thinking, reflecting back and just understanding yourself and then understanding who Allah is. And these are the moments that are going to go ahead and push you to do better. Like, I want you to understand something. People always say to me, oh yeah, you're so young, but you know, you have a lot of wisdom. Yeah, because I've been a fool. That's why. Like my whole life, bro, I've been a fool. You know what I mean? Like I used to be that type of person. Like I did not care what you had to say.
Yeah,
none
bro,
of that.
We
like,
know.
Yeah, but then once I realized like, man, every single time I messed up or every single time I sat there and I reflected, and not even just on the mistakes of my own, but looking at the mistakes of other people, because that right there can, you know, can push a lot of things out of the way. Because here's the thing, you just look at the people around you and like, you know, that's enough. Like you got to be thankful for things like that. You can say alhamdulillah that those things hadn't happened to me, but I got the chance to experience it, just not onto myself, because you obviously, you don't know how you'd handle yourself in that situation, you know, things like that. You know, you don't just become wise overnight. Like you said, it takes years and years, constant state of reflection, constant state of forgiveness. And in that, you know, you really start to find yourself and what works better for you and how you get better from there.
And the best advice I could give is you better start right now, because even like with reflection that I do, I feel like there's still millennia of improvement to go, like a whole bunch of improvement.
Yeah, you know, I look back at myself, I don't even know where to start.
we're told to like look at people who may be like below us, like struggling more than us and stuff like that. Take it in a couple of different ways to help you build like more sincerity and more humility towards Allah in someone who struggles with certain sins that you don't struggle with. So meaning looking at the non-Muslims who don't have a connection to Allah and thinking, I could have been that.
I could be
struggling with this major sin.
And the most important thing, you got to also look at the stories in the Quran, because again, the stories in the Quran are not make-believe stories. They're not bedtime stories. Like, they are there to encourage you and to cause you to do better. Like, the same way that it encouraged and pushed our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it should push us to do the same exact thing as well. Because that's exactly what it's there for. The Quran says it guides that to which is most upright. Like, do you reflect upon that statement? And then also, do you also understand the other parts of the Quran when it talks about, you know, do they not reflect upon the Quran, or is there a seal upon their hearts? Like, that verse is so scary to me. Like, you just sit there listen to it, and like, you're not really reflecting upon it. You're not really listening to what it has to say to you. You know what I mean? You listen to it just because it sounds good. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying don't listen to the Quran because, you know, don't have a favorite reciter, of course, but you also have to understand the most important thing about it is reflection upon it.
Yes,
read and appliance.
Yes. I want to talk about what Hussein was saying about other people sinning. Listen, if you're a Muslim out there, this is something I started doing. I started praying. If there's a sin I know that's out there, I start praying that my Muslim brothers don't do that sin. Because this is something that we really struggle with. A lot of Muslims is that they don't want to see any Muslim brothers succeed. Like, they don't want to see anybody doing better than them. What really the approach that everyone should really be taking is like, you should pray. First off, you should pray that a Muslim brother doesn't fall into a sin so that the angels, they'll say Ameen too. They'll say Ameen. When you make a dua for a Muslim brother behind their back, the angels say Ameen to your dua for you as well. So you want for your brother what you want for yourself. You want them to not fall into sins. Because when they don't fall into sins, they're big, they're blessed. Like, the blessings, sins remove blessings. So I don't want them to have blessings to get removed.
Yeah, here's another thing about that. I remember I was listening to a khutbah a long time ago. And ever since like this day, like, it just always changed my perspective. And it's the fact that a lot of people, they get jealous, right? They see another person succeeding. Like you said, they don't want to necessarily see that. But you as a Muslim, like, that's not the type of approach that you need to have. Like, you should ask Allah to preserve what they have and increase them and also increase yourself. That's it. Like, it doesn't have to be a thing where, oh, I want them to lose that thing and I want that thing for myself. No, ask Allah to preserve that, increase them, and increase yourself as well. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be anything like, you know, hateful towards the other person. Because I want you to imagine, right? Like, what you were talking about in the beginning of the podcast episode, when you're sitting there and you're in a positive state of mind, you're all happy, you know, you're looking good at other people as well. But when you're in a constant negative state, you know, now you're just looking bad upon other people. And that negative energy just, you know, goes all over the place.
That's really what it is, though. Because, like, when I've looked at myself, when my life is going well, alhamdulillah, you know, I feel super blessed. When I see something going wrong for someone else, or I see them, oh, like, they did a certain sin, I just look at them, like, oh, man, may Allah help them. You know, may Allah help me, too. Because I'm deficient as well. But, they don't know my deficiencies, right? Like, you make those du'as, like, may Allah make you better than what people think of you. Or may Allah like shade you. May Allah shade you on the day of judgment and in here. Like, may Allah shade your mistakes. Because if you were to get yourself exposed by Allah, like, trust me, you did not do that for the likes and the clicks and whatnot. No, like, Allah let you expose yourself because Shaitan put it in your mind that doing this in front of the camera, oh, it's going to get likes, it's going to get shares, you're going to get followers from this. And you'd rather do that than notice how it's affecting your relationship with Allah. Because once again, your relationship with Allah is not something you can see. It's not something that, I mean, you could feel it, I guess. Yes, you could feel it. But it's not something you can see. So if it's being taken away from you, you won't necessarily notice it right away. You might start noticing it when it's too late. So with that, inshallah, that's going to close out this podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed. Went on a little tangent, though. I like it. I like it a lot. but let us know how you guys enjoyed this. You know, give us suggestions for our next podcast, inshallah. And with that being said, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Make sure to share this with your friends and family. You never know, life could change by sharing this video. We're not scholars, so we're open to any corrections. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood. Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, a registered broker dealer.